her mistress, Kai Kei, had become the top queen in the palace, the other servants had to respect her. So you see all these emotions happening. Now Ram, he's the son of Dasara's oldest, most senior wife, Kausalya. Whereas Kai Kei is the youngest one, so men always like young ladies. Kai Kei had the, she was the pet, whereas Kausalya was the senior veteran. Mantar, the hunchback maidservant of Kai Kei, when she heard the news, she immediately ran to Kai Kei's room. These are the dynamics. She's going to stir it up now. She found the queen lying on a couch. So Mantar, with her face red, she began to address her mistress in harsh tones. Now, Kai Kei was the first kind of, like, you know, a bit amused, like, what's the big deal? What's going on? What did Mantar say? This is how it all starts. Get up, foolish woman! How can you lay there when calamity stares you in the face? You languish here at ease, even as a flood of misery sweeps towards you. Thoroughly neglected by your husband, you are now threatened with utter ruin. Kai Kei looked affectionately at her servant. Mantar had been her childhood nurse, and Kai Kei saw her like her own mother. The queen had not heard the news about Ram, and so she inquired from Mantar. Pray tell me, what causes you sorrow at this time? You seem sorely afflicted. Mantar became even more incensed upon hearing Kai Kei's question. She replied in a low voice, trembling with anger. There is no doubt that disaster now threatens us both. With your destruction will come mine, as much as with your good fortune rests mine. I am therefore saying this only for your benefit. She grabbed Kai Kei's hand, trying to impress upon her mistress the obvious facts as she saw them. Now listen to the way she speaks and starts to agitate the mind of Kai Kei. She's got her hand. Although born in a royal line, you seem ignorant of the ways of kings. A king will speak sweet words to a person while at the same time planning their destruction. The emperor has acted as your beloved spouse while performing deeds which will ruin you to your very roots. What was Kai Kei's response now? Kai Kei looked at Mantar curiously. Mantar's eyes blazed as she continued. Blazing eyes. Having sent your own son Bharata away to a distant kingdom, this wicked king now plans to install Ram as prince regent. What greater misfortune could there be for you? That was Kai Kei's reaction. She smiled. She loved Ram as much as her own dear son. And Ram looked upon Kai Kei as being equal to his own mother, Kausalya. She felt a surge of joy upon hearing Mantara's report. Ram's going to be king? Well, great! She couldn't understand why Mantar was disturbed. And the fact was, if anyone else had spoke about Ram and his father, Dasharatha, in such a way, Kai Kei would have been punished. But Kai Kei was accustomed to Mantar's sullen disposition. Mantar was often angry and, you know, went over the top about things, her verbal expressions. So Kai Kei was used to that, so she didn't take it so seriously. What did she do? She took from her neck a necklace of brilliant diamonds set in gold and handed it to her servant and said, "You have brought me the best news I've ever heard in my life. Ram is going to be king.
I wish to reward you. Take this gift and tell me that if there's anything else I can do for you.
Obviously, Kaikeyi wasn't tuned in as Munthra wanted her to be.
What did Munthra do? She takes the necklace and throws it down. This is no occasion for joy, foolish lady! What strange fame of mine has seized upon you? An ocean of grief threatens to overwhelm you, and yet you stand here smiling? Your son, your stepson, Ram, will be king, while your own son is left aside. Your own son, Bharata, is left aside. Ram will see Bharata as his enemy. Rashman only serves Ram, and Suthutna serves your son, Bharata. Therefore, there's going to be a split between Ram, Lakshman, Bharata, Shatrughna. My mind quakes with fear to think of the danger to your son from the powerful Ram once he's king. Munthra's eyes grew bloodshot with fury, and her face brightened as she spoke. Why was Kaikeyi not understanding? Kaikeyi still didn't see the threat. I mean, she knew her position in the palace. The older wife, Ram's mother, had long been snubbed by the king in favor of the young Kaikeyi, so there's nothing to, you know, there's no anxiety, everything's under control. That's what Kaikeyi, you know, she had no reason to fear her position. Yeah, let Ram be king. Wonderful. We all love him. Still, Munthra goes on. You must do something. This is a great disaster. Once the crown has passed to the other side of your family, you will in time see your own side sink into oblivion, bereft of royal fortune. Still hearing her servant talk like this, Kaikeyi started thinking of Ram even more. The ocean of all perfect qualities. He would never have any ill will towards Bharata. He always acts in perfect accord with religious principles. He's devoted to truth, disciplined, and always kind. He deserves to be king. And surely after he's king, he'll look after his younger brothers like a father. She began to chide Munthra. You've got no reason to feel such distress. That looks good, huh? So things are moving right along. Kaikeyi's just not listening. So, oh, Ram's going to be king. How nice. Surely he's going to take care of his younger brothers. Everyone knows that. So Kaikeyi told Munthra, this is an occasion for rejoicing. You should by no means be in grief, my dear maidservant, nor should you think ill of Ram. My son Bharata will be in no danger from Ram, and in the future he may well succeed him to the throne. There's no need for lamentation. But Munthra, she was still pressing, because she's thinking, if my mistress is the mother of the king, my own position will be improved. So she had greed and envy. And she was considering that Dasarath Maharaj was acting out of the same kind of motivations. So she went on and on, preaching to Kaikeyi with rancor. Surely it is due only to stupidity that you fail to see your impending doom, O deluded woman. Ra will be king, and after him will come his own son to be king. Bharata will have nothing. And in fact, I can foresee that Ram will even banish your son, maybe even sending him to the next world. Maybe you're killing him. You and your line will be lost and forgotten. I am here to awaken you to this great peril that has now arrived at your door. Do not disregard me. So Manthara, she was just, her ego was so inflated, she didn't want to lose her position as top servant in the palace. So she kept presenting argument after argument to her mistress. And she's also using psychology. Even though everything was harmonious in the palace, still there's naturally some rivalry between the ladies. So Manthara is really working that one over. You are the favored wife, remember? But if Kaushalya's son becomes king, you'll lose your position as being the favorite. Because he's working that really hard. It was hard to do, though, because Kaikeyi has such deep affection for Ram. So the discussion went back and forth. But gradually, Manthara began to change Kaikeyi's mind. Her arguments began to sway Kaikeyi. And Kaikeyi's intelligence started to become confused. She loved Ram, but she began to consider, maybe it's true, his installation is an injustice. Of course, this is also the arrangement of the pastime energy of the Lord. All this is going on, actually, for the pastimes of Lord Ram and their pleasure. It looks very distressing, and it is. I mean, this is really happening. And then, what did Manthara see? She saw in Kaikeyi's face, she's wavering. She's starting to listen to you. She grabbed the queen's hands again. There is a way that we can avoid this destruction. If Ram is sent to the forest, and your son Bharat is installed as king in his place, then everything will be safe and fine. Manthara is very clever, so she thought of a strategy. Listen, here's what you do. Do you remember? Some time ago, you told me a story. You were on the battlefield with your husband, and he became severely wounded. And he was wounded on a battlefield in which, at nighttime, as the wounded lay there, hideous demon would come and devour the bodies of warriors still on the battlefield. So at that time, seeing the danger to Dasara, Kaikeyi, she's a Kshatriya lady, so she rode out on a chariot and rescued her husband. So what did Dasara do upon waking up, becoming conscious again from his wounds and seeing how his wife had rescued him from the battlefield? He offered her two benedictions. But what did Kaikeyi say? Not now, not now. Later in the future. So Manthara reminds Kaikeyi, you got those two benedictions. The king promised you to give you whatever you wanted. Twice. Now the time has come to ask for those two benedictions. Number one, tell the king, banish Ram to the forest. Number two, tell him to make your son Bharat the king. In this way we shall both be saved. Now Kaikeyi is under her influence. Despite her love for her husband and her attachment for Ram, she was upset. How could the king have treated me in such a way? He's always so loving and kind. Was he just putting on a show to win my favor? She began to feel angry. You see how the mind changes now. The king might have spoken so many sweet words to her, but it was obvious by his favor. It was obvious that he favored Kohala. She's actually the favorite one, Kaikei, the youngest wife, but her mind has been shifted. It's just a show. He actually likes Kohala better, the oldest wife. Now the whole situation is clear. Dasara is neglecting me and favoring the son of Kohala. Now we're completely on the mundane female platform. Kaikeyi heaves a deep sigh. Yes, Mantara, your suggestion is appropriate. I shall, at this very moment, go before the king and ask him, now is the time for those two benedictions. Mantara's mind just overflowed with cunning. She began to cavil even more. You should ask Ram. Excuse me. You should ask Bharata that Ram. No, you should ask Dasara that Ram be banished for no less than 14 years. Give Bharata your son 14 years as king, and the people will love him and forget all about Ram. Now, Mantara knew that Bharata would never allow himself to be king in Ram's presence, and the people wouldn't allow it either. Bharata is so humble, he would not accept such an arrangement. So, therefore, Ram had to be banished. They had to get Ram out of the picture, because there's no way Bharata would agree to be king, or the people would agree, if Ram was around. So, Mantara continued. Do not allow Ram to remain in the kingdom. By his power and influence, he'll seize the throne, even if Bharata's crowned. Your son has been away a long time, while Ram has been here winning the hearts of the people. He must be sent away. Ram must be sent away. The plan's not over yet, though. Kaikeyi is listening with full attention now. He's taking it all in. And Mantara comes out with the details to the plan. Here's how you approach your husband, the king. It's sulking time. You see, in Vedic culture, there's a way that the wife officially sulks. You know, shows that she's in a bad mood. There's a whole protocol, you know. Very interesting. Everything is there in Vedic culture. Even the prescribed way for the wife to indicate to the husband, I'm really ticked off. So, what did Kaikeyi do? She puts on soil. Mantara tells her, you put on soiled garments and go to the sulking chamber. Those are your householders. Make sure you have a sulking chamber in the house. It's all very cultural. So, you know, when the husband knows that the wife's in the sulking chamber, he knows, oh, there's actually a room, a sulking room for the wife, you know, where she can just get on the mental. And the husband, you know, just, you know, all the husband has to do is here. She's in the sulking room. Come up with something real quick. But it's part of Vedic culture. In other words, how can these Vedic cultures always arranging for things to go on in the most appropriate way? How to deal with things in a way that allows people to progress in their life? So, all right, people sulk. Wives get on the mental, so there should be a sulking room. Go in the sulking room and get over it. And that way, the husband, you know, he everything is clearly communicated to him. Otherwise, men, they have a very difficult time understanding female emotions. But if the wife's in the sulking room, the message is loud and clear. You're in trouble.
That's a perfect image.
That's why the man would have to speculate, you know, this and that. And, the whole day isn't wasted, Each one trying to figure out where the other one is at and what the other one's really thinking. The man right away knows. Oh, she's in the sulking room. So, Mantra told Kaikei how to really get into it. Put on soiled garments, go to the sulking chamber, lie down on the bare floor, with your ornaments cast about and your hair in disarray, lay there weeping. Try this. Get the whole picture. Your hair is in disarray, ornaments cast about, laying on a bare floor, wearing soiled garments. There you are in the sulking chamber. So then Mantra explained, Dasrath has special affection for you, his youngest and most beautiful wife. He'll never be able to handle your sullen mood. He won't be able to ignore your order. For your sake, he would enter fire and even give up his life. Using the power of your charms, you will easily achieve your ends, oh beautiful lady. What was Kaikei's reaction? Clenching her fists, she sat on her bed, which was spread with a pure white silk sheet. Mantra is right. The king likes me for something. It may just be my beauty and charms, but that's something. Tonight he's going to be in for a surprise. So Kaikei fully got into it. So Mantra continues to advise you. When the king sees you distraught, he will pick you up and offer you anything. He'll present priceless gems, pearls, in order to pacify you. Do not become distracted from your goal of banishing Ram. Insist upon the two benedictions given to you long ago by your husband. Ask for those benedictions now, O Queen. Demand the exile of Ram and the coronation of Bharat. Kaikei accepted her advice, although by nature she's kind, gentle, and wise. She lost her good sense under the influence of her envious maidservant. Shows you the power of association. How one person can get another person completely on the mental platform. Very great lesson. Kaikei wouldn't believe her at first, but now Kaikei is fully under the influence. You have given me good counsel, Mantra, O wise woman. I have been cheated by the king. You have acted as my well-wisher by warning me of impending doom. When my son Bharat is made king, I shall give you so many boons and so much wealth. Now Mantra has what she wants. So Mantra smiled and urged Kaikei, make haste, make haste! Quickly go to your inner rooms, for the king will shortly come for his evening visit to you. Every evening, just Kaikei was the favorite wife, the king would come to her apartment. See, the ladies had their own section of the palace, their own apartments, and the king, he would come there to visit. So Kaikei prepared herself. She went into the sulking chamber. She threw herself on the floor and she vowed to Mantra, either Ram is exiled and Bharat made king, or I shall remain here in this state, taking neither food or water. If my desire is not fulfilled, I will die. So there you have it. Kaikei laying on the beautiful floor, her ornaments scattered, her hair in disarray, her garland crushed, her face dark with rage. She tossed about on the bare floor, sobbing. Meanwhile, what's Gusserup doing?
Well, tomorrow morning, his Rob will be king. Great gala celebration. Oh, he's just so happy.
So, confident that all the arrangements for the morning's events were underway, he went towards his favorite wife's rooms for their evening rendezvous. Described the glorious monarch entered Kaikei's excellent apartment as the moon might enter the sky at night, spreading its beautiful rays. The palace was so opulent, filled with hundreds of well-dressed maidservants. Opulent furniture everywhere, drapes, gold, silver, silk, finest carpets, epitome of opulence. Everywhere there were gold and crystal dishes with first-class food of every variety spread out on golden tables. So Dasara walked through the palace very quickly, past all the guards, because there were armed guards at the doors to the ladies' quarters. And at the inner doors, there were lady guards, lady servants. They folded their hands in respect to the king. And at last, the king entered Taikei's personal quarters, expecting to see her lying on her bed. He was surprised. Where is my beloved spouse? She usually meets me at this time. He called out for her, Taikei! Taikei! No reply. What happened? He searched, and he found her doorkeeper, and asked, where's my wife? With a dejected face, the doorkeeper told the king, Taikei has entered the sulking chamber in an angry mood. Every house needs one, every temple needs one. The king thought, this is very strange. He entered the sulking room, and what did he see? Kaikei on the floor in a sorry and disheveled state. Dasarath looked sadly upon his youngest queen, who was dearer to him than his life. He didn't know that in her heart she had a wicked and sinful desire. What's the first thing he did? He put her on his lap, stroking her tear-streaked face, speaking softly, your anger is surely not meant for me, who only wishes for your unending happiness. Tell me, O gentle lady, by whom have you been insulted or rebuked, so that now you lie here rolling in the dust? Who deserves punishment today at my hands? Or do you wish me to release someone who deserves to be punished? By whom have you been offended, or whom would you seek to oblige? No answer. She didn't even look at him. Dasara felt tormented as he sought to appease her. If you are sick, I'll call the royal physician to quickly heal your pain. Speak out about whatever's wrong. Allow me to make amends. Solution. I can by no means tolerate your distress, and I'll do any work which pleases you. This earth with all its wealth belongs to me. What shall I give you today? Please rise up and tell me the source of your sorrow. Now, Kaikei was starting to get a bit encouraged when she's hearing
Husband said, I'll give you anything.
The whole earth's at my disposal.
She realized, yes, now's a good time. He's ready to do anything I say. Now I'll drop the bomb.
Seeing that her husband was deeply moved by love for her, Kaikei spoke in strained tones.
I have not been insulted or offended by anyone, okay? There is something, however, I wish you to accomplish.
Make me a solemn vow that you'll fulfill my desire, and then I'll tell you what it is. Dasara placed her head upon his lap and straightened her hair. He's going right into the trap. He smiled at her and said, except for my son Ram, there is none in this world more dear to me than you. I swear by the invincible Ram, dearer to me than my life, that I shall satisfy your cherished desire. By that very Ram for whom separation would surely end my life, I swear to carry out your order. Indeed, by Ram, who I would exchange for my own life, my other sons, and the entire earth. I promise to do your bidding. Therefore, O good lady, please reveal your mind to me. So three times he had said it, swearing on Ram, by my very son Ram, who is dearer to me than my own life. I will do what you say. He had said that three times. I swear to carry out your order. By Ram. I'm taking a vow on Ram. He did it three times. So, Kaikei knows Vedic culture. He said it three times. He has to keep his promise down. He doesn't even know what he's promising he's going to do. So then, she said it. She said something which was like death arriving at Dasara's door. Let all the demigods witness your promise. You are the highly glorious emperor, always true to your word, and you know what's right. You've given me your promise. Looking intently at her husband, because Dasara's starting like, what's going on here? Kaikei says, do you remember, O king, how I saved your life on the battlefield? Do you remember? You offered me two benedictions. Now's the time. I want those benedictions. Give them to me now, or you'll see me die this very day. So, under the powerful sway of passion, he's got her head on his lap. He's smoothing back her hair. Tears are streaking down her face. And so he's got that pressure. And then he's got the pressure of his own promise. Dasara, like a deer stepping into a snare, made ready to accord the two boons to his queen. So Kaikei said, boon number one. Let my son Bharat be installed as the prince regent in Ram's place. Boon number two. Exile Ram to the forest for 14 years. Then she said, be true to your promise, O King of Kings. And in this way, your race will be cloaked with everlasting glory. What was Dasara's reaction? He looked at his wife in complete disbelief. It was like he was seized by a heart attack. This is actually happening. Am I actually hearing her say like this? Or is it all a bad dream? Maybe, he was thinking, maybe something I had experienced in a former life was returning as a vivid hallucination, flashback or something like that. Maybe I'm losing my sanity. How could Kaikei have made such a request? She always has shown deep affection for Ram. Considering her words again and again, Dasaratha became overpowered by grief and just fainted. The most powerful warrior, emperor of the world, he's fainted upon hearing these words. And then he regained consciousness. And what did he see? Kaikeyi still sitting there with a stern expression. Like Dasaratha was, he went unconscious, and then like, you know, was hoping this is just a dream, it's going to go away. And he came to consciousness again, and he looked at her face, and she's serious business. So now, Dasaratha Maharaj is sitting on the bare floor. Alas, he's going, what a calamity! And he fainted again. Again, as he came back to consciousness. But now he's getting furious. He's a Kshatriya, he's a warrior. He knows this is totally awful. This is outrageous. This is the worst thing I've heard in my life. He's wondering, what's going on with Kaikeyi? She's revealing a side of her nature he had never seen before. Every man, you may know what that feels like. I've never seen this side of you before. But now it's too late. He roared at Kaikeyi as if he was going to consume her with his blazing wrath. Oh, cruel and wicked woman, it seems you are set upon the destruction of my dynasty. What harm have Ram and I ever done you? Why are you bent on bringing ruin to me at such a time? I didn't know it, but all this while, whenever I held you, I was holding to my chest a venomous snake. How can I give up Ram? The whole human race extols his glories. I can give up my wives, my kingdom, my own life, but I can never part with Ram. And he just stopped, too shocked to continue. He began to consider, I've always been so kind to Kaikeyi. How could she hurt me in this way? Doesn't she understand her request is going to kill me? So he spoke to her with tears in his eyes. The world may exist without the sun, but I cannot remain in my body without seeing Ram. Give up your sinful desire, beautiful lady. Then he began to beg. I place my head upon your feet. I beg you to be gracious to me. And he's actually holding on to her feet, gazing into her face. But what is Kaikeyi doing? Iron face, no mercy. Still, the king continued to beg her. If you feel that I slighted your son Bharat, let him be king in place of Ram. But don't send Ram to the forest. I can't believe that you have developed a dislike for Ram. On so many occasions before, you told me of your love for Ram. Surely an evil spirit has possessed you. Then Dasaratha began to remember the astrological omens. Maybe his wife, he's thinking, is under the influence of some evil influence. So he began to speak gently. I have seen myself how Ram serves you even more than does your own son Bharat. Have you not always told me so yourself? Why then do you want Ram exiled to the forest for 14 years? Let him remain here. Let Bharat be king. What objection could you have? He's trying to reason with her. Kaikeyi didn't budge. She had lost her trust in her husband and she seethed with anger. She thought he's simply trying to win me over with empty words. But she was not going to be fooled anymore. She remembered Mantra's warning. The king and his beloved Kaushalya were not going to cheat her this time. She would get her boons, no matter what Dasharath said. So Dasharath was just split into two. On the one hand, he loved Ram more than his own life. On the other hand, he had promised. How could he send Ram away? On the other hand, no king in Dasharath's great dynasty had ever broken his promise. But this is what he's caught between. Again, he tried to reason with his wife. What would you gain by this? Ram has always been so dedicated to you. He served you so nicely. Still, Kaikeyi was unmoved. So the king tried a different approach. He invoked his own love for her. He's trying everything. Oh, Kaikeyi, you should show mercy to me in this. An old worn man, I'm fast approaching the end of my days. I have now been subjected to an unbearable grief in the shape of your harsh words. What do you wish to possess? I can offer you anything that may be had in all of the world. Only ask for your desire and consider it done. Joining my palms, I fall at your feet. Do not banish Ram. Accept my piteous plea and save my life. What was Kaikeyi's reaction? She looked at him coldly. He had fallen weeping to the floor and was tossing about, gripped by overwhelming agony. But she just looks at him coldly. Can you understand? This most powerful warrior, the emperor of the earth, falling weeping to the floor and tossing about on the bare floor. Kaikeyi felt no pity. He prayed again and again, please, Kaikeyi, please. Nothing. Her heart was hardened and her intelligence was confused. She was fixed in her evil determination. Looking contemptuously at Dasharath, she spoke fiercely. Now it's time for the cutting words. Make it even worse. Oh, noble king, after granting benedictions and failing to fulfill them, how will you again proclaim your piety to the world? When in an assembly of great sages you are asked about your promise, how will you reply? Will you admit that you have proved untruthful to your own dear wife, to whom you owe your very life? Having once granted boons, and having again sworn three times to fulfill those boons, will you now falsify your word? She's standing there. Now he's on the floor, moaning and tossing about. She's standing there now. She felt cheated. She was angry. He had promised her anything. Now he was trying to back out. The whole outcome confirmed her doubts about his sincerity. He had no intention of giving her what he wanted, what she wanted. Her voice became colder. Oh, King of Kings, what honor will you bring to your dynasty by this action? Oh, foolish king, it seems that at the expense of anything you wish to install Ram as your successor, and you in this way will enjoy life with Kaushalya eternally. She was furious. The king was prepared to sacrifice anything for Kaushalya's son, but he cared so little for her. Now her voice is rising to a shout. It doesn't matter whether the promise you made to me was righteous or not. You made a promise. It cannot be withdrawn now. Ram. If he becomes king this very day, I shall swallow poison and give up my life right before your eyes. I would rather die than see Kalshaya become mother of a king. What was Dasara's reaction now? He suddenly dropped to the ground like he was struck with a thunderbolt, calling out Ram's name. Ram! 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 Like one insane, he lost his mental balance and lay motionless on the cold floor for a considerable time. Then he gathered his senses again and stood up and spoke in a choked, anguished voice. I cannot believe what you are saying. What's made you so evil? You're like possessed by a demon. He fell back onto a couch. His arms were outstretched towards Kaikeyi, who had again fallen to the floor on hearing her husband's arguments. The king wailed in agony. What am I going to do? What am I going to explain to Kalshaya how I've done such a horrible thing? I always neglected that godly lady Kalshaya in favor of you. You're really saying all the wrong things now. Dasara's mention of Kalshaya only made Kaikeyi more furious. She stared at her husband, her eyes filled with anger. Now, Dasara is relenting. I've just ruined myself by becoming close to you. I've always seen you as my devoted and chaste wife. That was my mistake. Still, Kaikeyi is not swayed. Her anger intensifies. So Dasara's blaming himself now. Surely the whole world would condemn him for sacrificing his sinless son for the sake of a sinful woman. But this must be because of my karma. How else could this happen? He tried in so many ways to change her mind. There's no way. Then, because Dasharatha is the powerful Vedic warrior, he understood. This is the way it's going to be. It's inevitable. So he spoke to his queen in complete dismay. The very moment I ask Ram to leave, and I know he'll do it, being fully obedient to my order, I'll die. And you will gain unending infamy, O lady of wicked resolve. Just thinking of Ram leaving for the forest, Dasharatha is just writhing in pain. Now he's seeing Kaikeyi as his mortal enemy. Oh, wicked woman. It's a wonder that while you're speaking such cruel words, your teeth don't fall out in a thousand pieces. When Ram goes to the forest, death will surely take me. So Dasara had no intention of asking Ram to leave, but he knew Ram would leave upon realizing the predicament. So he tried one last desperate plea to Kaikeyi. So even if, upon my failing to exile my son, you then swallow poison, throw yourself into a fire, or hang yourself, I will not banish Ram. You have disgraced your family. You're intent upon destroying my family. I will never give in. O malicious queen, now abandon your evil desire. I fall helpless at your feet. Come to your senses. Be gracious to me, who has always been your well-wishing protector. And exhausted by grief, Dasa sinks to the floor, his hands stretched out to the feet of his queen. Just think of the humility. He's a powerful Vedic warrior, emperor, world emperor. And just because of his attachment to Ram, he's just begging at her feet of his young wife. He's not henpecked. He's just Ram, Ram, Ram. This is how attached he is to Lord Ram. By this time, Kaikeyi has given up all her affection for her husband. And she saw, still my ends are not achieved. Now she's really convinced of Mantara's vision of the situation. She couldn't accept anything Dasara said. So she began to cut him even more with her words. Where's your honor now, O king? You claim to adhere to truth. But now we see it's an empty boast. Fulfill my boons as you vow and protect your fame. Dasara couldn't answer that. He was unconscious. As you said, Dasara's unconscious. After some time, he came to consciousness and looked at her face. Once again, the same cold expression. He knew. She's not even in the least bit pacified. Not even the least bit. He gave up looking at her face and began to look at the night sky, praying, may the demigoddess in charge of night make it that the night never comes to an end so morning doesn't come. Because when morning comes, he's going to have to tell his dear Ram to go to the forest in exile for 14 years. How can he face the dawn? Have you ever been in situations like that? I don't want dawn to come. How can I face the dawn? The dawn will bring Ram's departure. So he sits weeping, continuously repeating, Ram, 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 Ram. What does Kaikeyi say? She's untouched. Anything. I simply asked you to fulfill your promise, O king. Why do you lie there dejected? The path of morality has been clearly shown by your ancestors. Proceed upon that path now, O true form, and send Ram away. She knew her husband is devoted to religion and piety, so she's invoking the codes of morality. Do your duty, O king. I simply urge you to act upon truthfulness. Finally, she stands up amidst her strewn ornaments. Her eyes are flashing as he made her final demand. Three times you promised, and then for three times I ask you. Make my son king. Send Ram away. This alone will satisfy me and save me from giving up my life. After seeing you abandon your honor. She's putting it all on him. Not that she's doing anything wrong. No, you are abandoning your honor and not keeping your word by sending Ram away. She just kept the pressure on it. Ursula couldn't see any way out. He began to control himself. He accepted, this is the way it's going to be. So then he thought, she can no longer be my wife. She is fit to be rejected. Her name should never be associated with mine. No one should call her the Queen of Dusseldorf again. Now he's speaking fiercely. Oh, perverted woman, here and now I disown you. That hand which I formerly clasped in the sacrificial marriage fire, I reject that hand now. Things are really getting very intense. O woman of evil conduct, you should make no offerings to me, for I fully reject you today. What was Kaikeyi's reaction? It's the big deal. He's already rejected me when he favored Kausalya. So she's told Dasarath, why do you say such scathing and hurtful things, O Marnik? I merely ask that you give me what you've already promised. Summon your son Ram now. Give up this needless agonizing. Do your duty. Stand up for virtue. So, Dasarath is described to have felt like a first-class horse lashed with a whip. So, he had to admit. Bound by the strong cords of morality, I am helpless. Bring my gentle son before me. And then he faints, exhausted with grief. Ram is going to come, being summoned by his father. And his father's not going to be able to say a word to him. Ram's going to see his father in complete grief. Dasarath won't say anything, so Kaikeyi will say it for him. Your father is not able to speak now, but I'll tell you what's going on. This is what you have to do. Go to the forest immediately. My son Bharat will be king. What's Ram's reaction? Doesn't bat an eye. Is that all? How's his reaction? Is that all? I said, why does my father have to be at the point of death? Because of forcing him to ask me this? If you, Kaikeyi, had asked me, just coming from you, I would have done it. Why did you have to put my father through all this? I would have done it just on your say-so. This is Ram's character. He didn't bat an eye. Go to the forest for 14 years, not be king? That's the big deal. Well, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead showing the opulence of detachment and renunciation in such an inconceivable way. This is just one aspect of Lord Ram's pastimes. Of course, when Ram did start for the forest, he had to take Lakshman and Sita Devi, his wife, with him because they said there's no way they could not go with him. And so Ram and Sita and Lakshman started for the forest. And what happened when they looked over their shoulder as they're about to enter the forest? They saw the whole kingdom following behind them. The whole kingdom said, we're going to go in exile too. And Ram had to send them back. So hopefully, you get a taste of, by hearing the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Different from Lord Krishna's pastimes. Lord Ramchandra's pastimes are full of opulence and majesty and power. Palatial drama, which Krishna's pastimes in the forest of Vrindavan simply involve the Jamuna River, Govardhan Hill, flowers, trees, the cows. Please remember, there is perfect personality, and that you can see in Lord Ram. That's why Dasharatha Maharaj will die having had to exile Ram to the forest. How can one do this to someone with perfect character, perfect quality, perfect personality? That is the nature of the Supreme Personality of God, to have those qualifications. And to be so renounced that, yes, I'll go away. What's the problem? Any questions about Lord Ram?
Then King Dasharatha was a close associate with the Lord. He must have been a great devotee.
Yes.
So how, what was he actually suffering? Was he in the transcendental mood of suffering also?
He's suffering. But it's all for Ram, it's not for himself. It's not material suffering. He's not at all concerned about himself. A devotee is simply concerned about the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the definition of being transcendental. Is Lord Ram suffering when he'll be separated from his wife Sita? He's enjoying love and separation. What is suffering in this world, separation from your beloved, is pleasure in the spiritual world. So in this pastime, you can see all the dynamics of human expression. Manipulation, you can see. Envy, jealousy. All fanned into a flame by bad association. Of course, this is Ram Leela, so things are meant to happen in this way for the ultimate pleasure of the Lord. Not even ultimate, immediate and ultimate pleasure.
Maharaj, So is Kaikeyi and Nansara, are they also part of this transcendental leader, in spite of all his apparent badness?
Yes. Still, what they're doing isn't right. And they'll get reactions for it.
All right, let us chant a bit. And then, around 7:30, official sunset, we'll honor the prasad.